better put him in the Heisman.
Got that wood right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team is on the way back. A College World Series title. The Bomb Stadium.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
It was a very strong recruiting class, there was no doubt. And that's kind of where a lot of fans' hopes reside in Chad Morris and the success as a coach, because last year you go 2-10. And anytime, I don't care who you are, what's the situation, if you go 2-10 as a head football coach in your first year, no one's going to be like, oh, well, this guy's for sure got it. Because there's always going to be some doubt. But where people are trying to erase that doubt is with last year's recruiting class and how there's a few of these kids, a few of these true freshmen, like wide receivers Trey Knox and Treylon Burks, guys like that, that you feel like that can really make a difference on this year's team. So this started to make me wonder with the theme of recruiting. If Chad Morris is able to have a successful season this year, and when I say successful, 6 wins, getting to a bowl game, causing some real legitimate reason for optimism, if he gets to that point, does that mean that the recruiting class for 2020 and maybe even 2021 will have some added pressure and expectation to improve or at least be just as good as what the 2019 class was?
Absolutely. I mean, and right now they're lagging behind where they were this time a year ago. And that's an issue for this the future of this program. You've got to get caught up, because right now they're in the low 40s, high 30s, depending on where you're looking at recruiting rankings. So that's got to get fixed. But, yeah, absolutely. You've got to continue to recruit your way out of this problem. That's the only way it's going to get fixed, is you recruit your way out of it. So, and that's what's exciting about this year. You laid out a lot of the right players with Treylon Burks and Trey Knox and a lot of the freshmen that are on the... ...look like for the next 3 seasons starting this year. These guys should be the foundation blocks of this rebuilding job. That really begins this year. Last year it was tough for Morris to do much because of the timing of when he came in to get that first recruiting class. He still wasn't able to really turn the roster over till this year. We've talked a lot about the 52 freshmen and redshirt freshmen on this year's team. It's going to be a much different, it's already a much different culture around that program. So I think what we're going to see is the foundation blocks. But you got to, foundation blocks don't get, doesn't get you in the dry, you know what
no,
I mean?
No.
So you've got to continue to build on this structure, and the only way to do it's in recruiting.
Yeah, and so. and the fact that we brought up those true freshmen and whatnot, I mean, that doesn't even count or consider, you know, these transfer quarterbacks that you have on the roster too. I mean, those don't get added into the recruiting class. So I think it's legitimate that you could add them into the recruiting class, because you had to go out and recruit them. You had to recruit Nick Starkle. You had to recruit Ben Hicks, and you know that's an upgrade from what you had before. So with all of these new players that have come in, I think that that's also where, and it's a fine reason of why people feel Chad Morris can get the job done and why this year is going to be a completely different year, because you have a completely different roster, and it's not a completely different roster in a bad way. Because listen, it's one thing, and I like to compare it to like when John Pelfrey in his first year at Razorback basketball, remember his team that he had when he took over when he entered in? He had nothing but seniors, and quality seniors. He had Darian Towns, Stephen Hill, Charles Thomas, Gary Irvin, Sonny Weems, great players like that. And then they had a Patrick Beverly. I mean, he had a really great roster. Well, what happened when he got there? He went to the tournament, won a game, did a pretty good job with them, but we all know what type of coach Pelfrey ended up being, and it didn't work out. But my point is that next year he had a huge roster turnover, and it was a bunch of true freshmen. That wasn't a good roster turnover. And then you don't have that situation with Chad Morris. You have a situation where you needed a roster turnover, a heavy overhaul of it all, to try to get players not only that are more talented, but players that are better suited for what you're trying to accomplish. And the fact that Chad Morris understood that and did whatever it took to get that to happen, and didn't just sit around and say, well, these guys, you know, they really put in their hard work, and so I'm going to leave them here even though I'm not going to use them, even though they're going to be detrimental to my offense or detrimental to my team. I'm still going to, because they gave me all their all. No, he understands. This is big boy SEC football. You got to make those changes, and you got to get winning now. You can't wait around for 4 or 5 years, and then by then, hopefully, hopefully you have a team that can start contending for a bowl game or a bowl bid. You can't have it that way. And so that's where it comes into play of why I think that Chad Morris this year is so important for many different reasons, but important from the fact that if he went through this whole overhaul and added these new players in, if these new players can really have an impact this year, and I mean really have an impact this year, then that should be even give even more hope for Razorback fans that Chad Morris might really know what he's doing and might really be able to compete in the SEC West.
Yeah, and you know that's what you're wanting to see is steps in the right direction continued. I mean, this year, you know, I don't have a lot of question whether he can coach football, whether he understands offense. I think he's got one of the good minds on defense. I know there's some people that aren't John Chavis fans. Am I saying John Chavis is the best defensive coordinator in the country? No, but I think he's one of the top three, four, five. I mean, and I know that he's, you know, as far as experience in the SEC, as far as someone being a right hand to a head coach, building, you know, at the first time as a head coach of the Power Five, probably couldn't have someone better in this league, in this environment, to do the job he's doing. So I think it's a really good setup. I like the staff where it's at. But the thing is, it takes time, because the only way to fix this is recruiting, which we're going to talk a lot about today, as mm-hmm. we're 2 days away. And the first weekend of having, you know, new guys on campus, new visits on campus, building more relationships, it all really begins trying to get some of these 2021s, 2022s, and down the road, you know, under the 10 here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what Chad Morris has also been preaching, too, ever since he arrived, is it's about recruiting. It's about getting players. Right. It's about getting guys. Like, and I agree with you.
But everybody wants to see it now.
Right.
And it's not going to happen now because the guys that are going to make it happen are in high school still.
That's right. And that's
where...
You've
got some of the guys, but you don't have enough of the guys.
Yeah, you don't have enough of them is the key. And that's the thing is, like, when you mentioned Chad Morris and how you believe he knows football, and I agree. I mean, the guy knows football. I don't think he's just wandering it, you know.
You don't fake your way to this level.
Yeah, you have to have that experience. And he's been successful at every stop he's had, even as a coordinator, as a high school coach, whatever. He's been successful everywhere he's been. And the fact of the matter is that when he comes in and he sees his situation, offensive mind, all that, that's fine, you know, because I think there's a lot of great offensive minds that don't make great head coaches. But the one thing that he has going for him is that when he came in, he saw what he had, and he said, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. I can't win with this. I can't be successful with this, so I'm going to change it all. And he also understands that in order to be successful, especially in this league, in this division, in the SEC, you got to recruit, and you got to recruit at a high level. You can't get by with the type of talent you had at SMU. You can't do it. You got to be able to recruit with the big boys. And those elements, and the fact that he at least understands that, he at least knows that, and he's trying his best to execute that plan, mm-hmm. I feel like that's where it can really come into play for people saying, you know what, Chad Morris, if he can just transition it onto the field, translate it onto the field to success, have some wins this year, he's got all the other pieces, and he has all the other understandings of what it takes to be a great coach in this league.
Mm-hmm.
He understands it. He knows how to do it. Just a matter of executing it. And that's what people have to wait on, unfortunately. And, you know,
wait? I don't want to wait.
I know. It sucks.
I want it now.
I know. I'm impatient too, folks. I mean, I'm sitting here 2 days away and I'm getting angry because we still don't have any football in front of us. But, I mean,
hey,
that's just the way it is.
Richard Davenport's going to join us, as you know, at 8 o'clock. So, hey, out there, you got the Cherokee Casino Hotline. Text us your questions, 877-377-6963 that you have in recruiting, because it's kind of an exciting time because you got high school football has begun this week. You've had a lot of kickoff games. This is week zero in high school, so there's a lot of games going on, kind of about a half schedule this week and a half schedule next week. Then everybody really kind of gets going, you know, early September. But a lot of good kids to go watch, a lot of good teams, and I know a lot of people are excited about getting back to their high school fields and mm-hmm. watching their local teams. And we'll talk to Richard about some specific kids. And there's some out there you got questions about that you'll be watching these next few months. Send those to us, and we'll ask Richard in a couple hours.
You going to catch any high school games this year?
A few.
Okay, all right.
I'll be a few.
I didn't know if you'd be...
maybe beginning tonight.
Something you're into or not.
Yeah, maybe. I'd be at one or two this week.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Everybody's staying home. Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're at number three. And nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs!
So, in the previous segment, we had a gentleman call in, of course. I think people know who he is. How long has he been calling radio shows? I think was it Drive Time's been on for about 30 years. He's been calling for 43.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something to that extent. But he had a question.
Moses was a young boy.
I think that he had an interesting question, honestly, about Chad Morrison. How long is the fans and the administration and athletic director, how long are they going to give Chad Morris in order to get this thing going in Arkansas? And
what I think that's a negative question.
I know we're going to jump right into negativity here, apparently. But here's the thing. I think that it's a fair question. No matter who the coach is, when you have a new one come in, there's always a little bit of a time frame. Because let's be honest, too, certain coaches will have a longer leash than other coaches when they first arrive, just depending on the situation they're in. For instance, I think Eric Musselman for Arkansas basketball needs less time to get it going than what Mike Anderson needed when he first took over at Arkansas, because they inherited two completely different situations. Not to say that you can't give them any time, but you got to look at every situation differently.
Transforming a style in a sport like basketball is much easier.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Than transforming a style in football. This would have been a much easier transition and would have resulted in more wins if you'd have brought in a ground and pound, run first, power style, pro style offensive coach. But you went a totally different direction, which I believe is the right call, and this guy's the right fit for what this state does high school football-wise. But that means that it takes longer. So to answer General Ben's question, as long as he needs, with the caveat, as long as there's improvement shown every year.
That's right.
Now, what's that mean? Well, I mean, that could be obviously wins and loss totals going in the right direction. But it also, again, we talk about how competitive are you in the second half in a lot of these games? I don't think they're anywhere near beating the elites of the Western Division anytime soon, but are you going to get to a point where you're more competitive? Bielema got to a point where he was more competitive with the elites of the Western Division. How long will it take Chad Morris to get there? Those are some of the benchmarks that have to start being met here in the next 3 to 5 years. I don't expect many of those this year, but by year three, by year four, by year five, you're going to start seeing some of those on a regular basis.
Yeah. And I've said this about almost every college football coach. I mean, I make sure I say that, but every college football coach, I feel like the same way. I like them like I like my presidents. You get 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And if you like the job that you're, or if I like the job that you're doing after 4 years, you get another term. I don't like the direction you're going, but I don't think that it's going very well, as well as I hoped, then you may need to make a change. But I think 4 years is kind of the nice time frame there to where you have enough time to get your players in. And it's not like by year four you better be winning 10 games, but by year four you better be able to, like you said, be competitive in your division, go up against some of the big boys and at least have a good, nice run at them, beat the teams you're supposed to beat year in and year out. Get to that point, and I think that's worthy of giving you an extension, unless it's just like, of course you get less than 4 years if you just put back-to-back 2 and 10 seasons.
One of the reasons Arkansas is in the position the program is fighting its way out of, and Chad Morris is working daily to dig out of the hole, is lack of stability. So when you change again, you create more instability. I mean, you had 10 years of Houston Nutt. You may not have liked everything of Houston Nutt, but you had stability. And then you had 4 years of Petrino, the 1 year in 12 with John L., then 5 years. I mean, and one thing that you had with Bielema is, yeah, you had Bielema for 5 years, but you really had some instability within those 5 years, because how many assistant coaches changed? A lot. Like, nearly, coordinators came and went every year, it seemed like. So having those guys, he had like 1 year where the coordinators returned. That's no stability. I mean, stability is the key to rebuilding this thing. So patience is the word of the day.
Mm-hmm. So, but when you say stability, because I've gotten in heated arguments over this, I get what you're saying, but I disagree where I think stability might be a little overrated. And
okay.
And the reason I say that is because if we're talking about head coaching stability, for like being in a program where you have a coach that's there for a while, and I understand the assistant coaches are important too, but...
Well, I'll further on my point when you're done.
Right. I was just saying that you've seen a lot of examples, though, where either two things happen. You have coaching changes that are happening pretty frequent because they can't get to the point that they mm-hmm. want to get to. But then once they find that coach, it works out and ends up being okay. And the other thing is that you have a program that waits too long on a guy. They keep him around for way too long. Mm-hmm. He overstays his welcome because they might be waiting on him. They think that he's really got something going. Maybe the grades are good. Whatever it is, and then that causes more damage than anything. So it's almost like you have to have a nice little balance to where you want to give the coach plenty of time. Every coach deserves plenty of time. I am all for that. But you also, as a program and as an athletic director and as administration, as the board of trustees, everybody, you also have to make sure that you don't go too long and buy into a guy for too long, because that could be more detrimental than going ahead and pulling the trigger.
But there's more measurables than just wins and losses.
Of course.
And recruiting's another big one. And that's where, when you talk about stability, that was one of the issues. Why is Bielema not here anymore? Didn't recruit well enough. Quit recruiting offensive linemen. That's really where the lack of stability crushes you, is every time there's transition, it seems like you're scrapping everything and you're having to overhaul a roster. And you're having to start over in recruiting. And it takes time. When you can only sign about 25 guys a year, it takes time to build back up to 85 quality players. And then rebuild your walk-on program and get your 110 on your roster the way you want it as the head coach. It's a three-year process. So every time you decide to make a change, unless you capture lightning in a bottle, you find some magic, it generally doesn't happen in 3 years, because the recruiting has to be there. Because how many times does a coach walk into a situation where the cupboard's stocked, ready to go, and fits his system?
Almost never.
And that's the problem.
Yeah. Because I was just, when you were saying that, I was trying to think of examples in college football here recently of coaches coming into a terrible situation and then having it turned around big time in a flash. I can't think of anything off the top of my head right now.
The only example at Arkansas is Houston Nutt coming in 98. Danny Ford didn't work out, but he had good players. And he had a lot of, and Houston Nutt inherited, Danny Ford had recruited well.
He had, very well.
And it was obvious from the 98 season that Houston Nutt was able to take a lot of those players that were juniors and seniors and win right away. And there's just not many times. And back then, you didn't have all these styles of offense that you had to have players that fit your mold of offense. You know, everybody pretty much ran similar kinds of offense in the 90s, you know. So it wasn't the spread game like we see it now. I mean, you're starting to see the air raid with Hal Mumme and Mike Leach a little bit. But
yeah.
But for the most part, football was good old American football, as they say. So
normal American football.
It's now changed. So you've got, now there's so many variations of spread. You got to have the kind of lineman, the kind of wide receivers, and certainly a quarterback that's dual threat and can do the RPOs and everything that Chad Morris is looking for.
Yeah.
And you know, when you change philosophies, you got to change a roster. Well, this isn't the NFL where you just fire everybody and sign new guys. You know, it's not how it works.
Yeah.
So, I don't think you're going to really see, and your four-year time frame is right from the standpoint it's going to take 4 years to really get a full evaluation, but people aren't that patient.
Not anymore.
Think you may be in year five or six before you really fully understand, because this state doesn't cycle around enough recruiting-wise as far as the number of 3- and 4-star SEC caliber players you get in this state, and rarely do you get a 5-star from this state. To really understand it. And the real key to watching, to me, Chad Morris, is how well are they doing in Texas? How consistent are they doing in Texas? Are they getting 3- and 4-stars? Are they getting, what are they getting out of Texas every year? Are they getting players that A&M wanted, that Texas wanted, that LSU wanted, OU wanted? Who are they getting out of East Texas? Because that's going to be the key. If he's winning some of those recruiting battles against other Power 5 teams, and particularly A&M, and that Northeast Texas corridor, Dallas over to Tyler and that down to Houston, that part of the state, then good days are ahead.
And we actually have a pretty good point made by the 479 texting in from the Cherokee Casino Hotline. He says, do y'all think the transfer portal will affect the timelining on coaching changes?
Yep.
College football, and I think absolutely they will. I
mean, particularly if you can find a quarterback right away. Because, some, you know, Russell Wilson's, I guess, the best example of a quarterback that went into Brett Bielema's system at Wisconsin as a graduate transfer. But this transfer portal, particularly if they can come in and help you right away. I mean, we're seeing what Eric Musselman's doing with it in basketball. That is how he's recruiting.
Yeah. And I don't see a problem with
it. Well, I mean, here's why would you go recruit an unproven high school athlete when you have an option to recruit a player
that's proven?
Now, the downside is they may not be able to play right away. And in football, that's you got a little more leeway than in basketball. But
a true freshman, you probably wouldn't want to play him right away either.
Sure. And but with the red shirt rule, maybe you want to play him in up to four games. So, yes. Absolutely, and it's a great point that we should be mixing into our conversation, how the transfer portal affects it. But I don't think you can build an 85-man roster on the transfer portal.
No, but I think that there are positions like the quarterback, though, to where,
your top two quarterbacks this year, where'd they come from?
Came from a different school.
From the transfer portal.
And I think it's worked out for a guy named Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma going through the transfer route, too, at their quarterback position.
Well, I'm waiting to see on that.
Yeah, we got to wait and see if he can actually do that. But the point's valid. And that's where a lot of coaches, and again, you can't make an 85-man roster, as Tommy said. Like, you can't do that. You maybe do that in basketball with your full roster, at least the majority of them.
It doesn't need to really be 10 guys a year. It's a handful of players a year at most, because for everyone in, someone's going out. I mean, you're not replacing your graduating players with transfer portal guys. No. You're replacing guys that hit the transfer portal out of your program.
That's right. And think about just this past year, folks. Think about how many of these quarterbacks that transferred in the transfer portal were 4 or 5-star guys coming out of high school.
And I can't sit here and describe all of the APR ramifications. I know they got to leave eligible to not lose a point, and but at some point, your program suffers from the NCAA rules and regulations of transferring. I mean, you can't make a living on this forever, because when the guys leave, they got to leave eligible, or it just really hurts you, because that's the way these rolling 4-year averages with these APRs are calculated. And part of the system is for you to retain players. So there's got to be enough of that going on, too.
Good question, gentlemen. We just spent a segment on it. It was a good question.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Give is to Alex Collins, straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas.
Some really good questions coming into our Cherokee Casino Hotline. If you want to text or call in, 877-377-6963 is the number to do so. This comes from JB in Prairie Grove. First off, he says, great show, guys. Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
And the other thing he says is, what would be the one game this year that would send shockwaves and bring the fan base more excited about the football program? You know, I guess because wins were so rare last year and have been, honestly, for the past few years, I think that there's obviously a few games that'll do that. However, if I'm looking at it from the perspective of sending excitement and pushing people to the next edge, everyone could say, well, Alabama. Well, duh, of course. But I think week 2 against Ole Miss would do enough for you to where it at least gets people on board saying, yes, we are going there. We're going in the right direction. Buy me some tickets for Colorado State.
Right. I agree with that. I think the one, though, that what JB's really after, what could get people on fire for Razorback football in this state again? It's beating Ole Miss as part of the equation, but it's beating A&M to become 5-0.
Oh, boy. That would be something.
Now, imagine this state if Chad Morris can put all that together. And listen, it's out there to do. A 4-0 start is not out of...
It's not impossible, no.
No. I mean, all you should have to do is beat Ole Miss to do that. Get a road SEC win against the team that's picked at the bottom of the division with you. So if you can beat Ole Miss, the other team that's... thought of to be one of the bottom feeders in this division right now, you're on your way to that. You get to 5-0 by beating A&M?
Man.
Mm.
It's going to be something.
And they don't have an easy schedule start, guys. Remember, they got to play Auburn, and they got to go to Death Valley and Clemson. So they could theoretically have 2 losses heading into that Arkansas game.
So I'm just saying, for JB's question, I think that's what would have people, you know, have a burning desire to be there for that Auburn game. Mm-hmm. Be a burning desire. What tickets are available for Auburn? At that point, I guess you'd have what? Auburn, Mississippi State, and Western Kentucky left on your home schedule in Fayetteville.
Still not enough games, but yes, that's what you'd have.
And the Missouri game.
In the Missouri game in Little Rock.
But that to me is this. I mean, if you're Hunter, you're a check, and if you're dreaming at night, you're Chad Morse, you're dreaming about how to get things back on track in this state, that'd be the way to do it.
Oh, yeah. And to kind of put it all in perspective, I think beating Ole Miss would have the fans' curiosity, but yet beating A&M at the same time would have their attention. It would certainly start putting you into that stratosphere of like, okay, this is real. This is legitimate, because making that step that early in the season?
None of us want our expectations met in life. Care what it is, whether it's a meal, whether it's, you know, our paychecks, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, the car we drive, we want our expectations exceeded, right? No one wants their expectations. I mean, we're mad. Only time we get mad and upset and disappointed in life is when what we expected doesn't come true. While we were mad and upset and thought the sun wasn't going to come up the next morning after that North Texas game last year, because no one expected that. You know, it's when our expectations are exceeded that we have the most joy in life. And I think 5-0 would exceed everyone's expectations.
But I also think that when it comes to setting those expectations, and I'm not saying everyone does this, but a lot of fans do set their expectations as a minimum. Like this, instead of
because you don't want to be mad and upset and disappointed.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying, is that even if their expectation is met, it's still like, okay, but this is the bare minimum that I wanted. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, you know, going into and spending $20 on a lottery ticket and getting $1 back. It's like, well, you wanted more and you're hoping.
Sound like you speak from experience.
Yeah, I'm just saying. It's happened. It's happened before.
Thought I was going to win the million.
But that's how people put in perspective of their expectations. They say, I perceive it as this. This is as little as it can possibly be. So even if it gets to that point, I'm still not happy with it.
I think a lot of people have reasonable expectations. If you were taking that approach, John, you would say 4 wins this year. There are some that are doing that because they think that's reality. They think 3 is a possibility. I'm more of a 5-win, could see a path to 6 kind of prognosticator this year.
But aren't you looking at it from the minimum, though? Because we've said you have to win your non-conference again, and you have to win an SEC game.
Because I think that's the logical step. But I also see if the bounce of every ball went right, if you avoided all the injuries, every call went your way, all of the things that have to go right, you could win 7 or 8 maybe. I mean, I think there's 8 winnable games on this schedule. I think there's about 4 games, maybe 5, depending on what you think of Mississippi State, that I don't know. Even on your best day, probably not yet. But you're not going to get all those. So, I mean, that's not reality either. So, again, no one, I don't think, out there is expecting a 5-0 start. Predicting it, hoping for it, wishing for it. It would be a dream. So, to answer JB's question, what would get people, you know, 70,000-plus back in the stadium for the Auburn game? Start 5-0.
Oh, yeah. Because, well, can you name the last time Arkansas started 5-0, Tommy?
Not without getting the media guide out.
Because
I'm going to say 2011. But
no, it didn't
sure
even.
I'm not even sure that's right.
Yeah, so. Because they lost to Alabama earlier.
I know it
season.
Hasn't been at least since 2011. I can tell you that.
In fact, that's actually a really good question, because they always lost to Alabama early in the season. So you're talking about doing something, if they started 5-0, that they haven't done since maybe even 1998. And I'm not kidding about that. You may have to get the media guide out.
Get it out.
See, this is the time that we need Andrew Hutchinson awake early in the morning so he can text us and come in.
We got a media guide for these kind of things.
Well, you know, first off, the fact that you still have a media guide over there is kind of surprising.
Last year's. I don't have this year's yet.
Well, is it the most up-to-date information, Tommy?
Well, I don't think this year's results are... Boy, if this year's results were in there, boy, could...
They may have just deleted them out of there.
We could get...
Well, no, but it makes me wonder. I think that it would be the last time that Arkansas started 5-0 was 1998, and I'm just using that off the top of my head. I know they went 4-0 back in 2003, and then they went 0 for October. That was always fun. But It's and then Bobby Petrino never started 5-0, even in those great years, because Alabama was always one of their first, if not their first, SEC game. So, man, this could be fun. This
I'll
could
get
be
back with you.
All right, cool.
This is not good radio for me to look this up.
That's all right, Tom. That's all right. You're our stats guy here on the Morning Rush. That. You know, most ESPN national guys, they have somebody way back in the background, but you're our stats guy, so you can figure it out. But anyways, I just find that fascinating, because if they were able to pull that off, it would also not be exciting, because, of course, you're 5-0, but be exciting the fact that, you know, you haven't been to that point for so long. Am I 20 years?
So many years. I mean, one thing to point out, particularly since, 07, you played Alabama so many years early in the SEC. You mm-hmm. played them before Game 5.
Yeah.
And after Saban got there, you know, and really got it rolling in 08, there hadn't many wins.
Yeah.
So now in the new scheduling model, Alabama's not played as early, but for years, you played Alabama in September every year. A lot of times it was your first conference game. So
yeah. So I think that's fascinating. And if it ends up being the 20-year mark like we think back in 1998, that makes it even more fascinating. But the whole point in all this conversation, though, folks, is that if Chad Morris was able to do that in year two and start 5-0, like already at that point, if he's 5-0, he has exceeded expectations right off the bat. I'm not saying you go full Brett Bielema and Jeff Long and give him an extension and a raise and on this crazy buyout. I'm not saying get to that point, but you certainly feel like you got the right guy. And like Tommy said, it's not impossible. It's not even highly unlikely. You have a situation in the beginning part of your season where you're SEC slate is winnable. It's not absolutely all in your favor, because Ole Miss on the road is going to be the telltale sign, but you're telling me that your first three SEC games are against Ole Miss, A&M, and Kentucky? Granted, none of those are at home. They're all away from the state of Arkansas, but those are your three SEC games? And A&M, I know, is going to be a decent team. I mean, they recruited well, and I'm not going to take anything away from them. But as Ty mentioned, their schedule's pretty brutal to start the season.
All right.
And they don't play well in Dallas either. And some people may consider that Arkansas to be a trap game for Texas A&M if they overlook them.
So 98 is the last time you started 5-0.
20 years.
And you started 4-0 in 03. You started 0-1 in 06, but then won 10 in a row. So those are some of the best starts to the season.
Yeah. But I will say this.
There's some 3-0s in there mixed in, too.
Mm-hmm. And this is what I'll say, and we'll end on this. I think the main reason they never went 5-0 since that point is always because they didn't have a schedule like Arkansas has this year in their first six games. I mean, Tommy, you said 5-0. 6-0 is not even out of the possibility if they go 5-0. So here we go. Here's some positivity. Everyone's talking about negative. Here you go. There's some positive. Let's get you pumped up for the game. Pumped up for Razorback football. 2 days away. You want to get on the conversation here on the Morning Rush, just call or text in to the Cherokee Casino Hotline, 877-377-6963.
6-0, then you get Auburn at home. That would be the largest crowd to probably ever watch a game in Fayetteville. If it was a 6-0 Arkansas team,
it would break the record.
Because obviously you didn't have the new expanded stadium in 2010. That's still the record, right? 2010 Alabama?
2010 Alabama.
So it break that record. You know, that's what would happen. Now, we're talking the long shots here. But, you know, to answer the question that was texted to us, that's what it would be. But what a bummer it would be if you started 5-0, then went on the road to Kentucky, who I don't know what their record would be at that point, but let's just say it's 3-2 or 2-3 or something like that. I don't even have their schedule in front of me. And if you lost that game, that'd be a real letdown.
It would be, but you'd be 5-1. I mean, it'd be a letdown, but at the same time,
but by then you probably sold a lot of the tickets.
Yeah,
so, you know,
exactly.
You know.
And you'd go from 1 week in the start of the week where you can't give away enough tickets to where all of a sudden you can't find a ticket.
I'll settle for 5-1 with a loss to Kentucky.
I think all of us would.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Arkansas Athletics.
Good morning, Richard. It's game week, man. How you doing?
It is. Man, I'm always good when I'm on the air with five-time broadcaster of the year and also Tommy. So I'm blessed.
Well, I can't wait to take that trip to
Hawaii.
What show
are you going on then later?
Yeah.
And what show do I need to be on later? Hey, he's just blessed to be on the watch list, you know.
Yeah,
for it.
Yeah. I'm all about being on the watch list, man. So, but I appreciate it as always, you coming on, Richard. And I want to jump into this. Obviously, this weekend being the first game of the season, it's a game in Fayetteville, and recruiting is always going on. But what's the plans this weekend as far as the recruiting element goes? Is there official visits, unofficial visits? What's the whole thing this weekend?
No, there's not going to be any official visits. Right now, it's kind of a small list, but it's still over the next 2 days. Kids will confirm their plans to come. But right now, you have Cottrell Wallace from Bryant High School, outside linebacker, 6'6", about 215, 220 pounds. He's coming up for an unofficial visit. Now, remember, at the cookout, he said he almost committed to Arkansas, so who knows? He has stated that he wants to take some other visits during the season and then make a decision, but we'll see what happens. With him being on campus, he always, kind of keep an eye on that. And then you got Isaiah Jacobs, running back, who's got an Arkansas offer. He's from Oklahoma. He'll be coming in too, but I'm not expecting a big amount of guys coming up on for this game, just because, let's face it, most kids want to see a bigger game than Portland State.
Well, and a lot of kids right now are getting ready to start their high school football seasons. A lot, this is week zero, so some games are being played on odd nights compared to the traditional Friday. But this week and next week, a lot of coaches probably need their players around their high school program to kind of get the season started right as well.
No, you're right, and in some states they play on Saturdays too. I know Texas and Louisiana they do, so that can also impact some of your visitors too.
Speaking with Richard Davenport of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now on the Cherokee Casino Hotline on the Morning Rush. Richard, I have a few questions for you that some people will be curious about from our texting line on the Cherokee Casino Hotline. This one comes from the 850. He says, How many players are they looking to take on in the class of 2020? Because it's of how many seniors and the amount of freshmen. It seems like the number is always interesting of how they work themselves out. But as far as the 2020 recruiting class, how many people do you feel like they're going to be taking on in that class?
I think it'll be a total of 24, and that includes Luke Jones and Traylon Smith, the running back. You right now you're 14, so another eight or nine kids still left to go.
All right. Also, another question we have from the 870. They're asking about, is there any other Arkansas players that are being sought after by Arkansas as far as in the state goes? Because we talked about this a few weeks ago, Richard. It seems like the in-state talent, at least this year and next year, is not as high as probably most Razorback fans would like it to be. But there's still a few guys in there that are good enough to get some SEC offers. Is there any other guys in the state of Arkansas that they're really going after, or they're at least trying to get after?
I think they're, you never rule anything out, because sometimes there can be a surprise kid who comes in and, last year as a junior, got on the radar, but, they're still evaluating and makes a big jump far as, strength and conditioning and speed and things of that nature. It's happened, but as far as a senior year, but I, at this moment, I would probably say, Cottrell Wallace, if he jumps on board, would probably be the last one.
Let's shift gears to basketball for a minute, because I think there's been some interesting stuff in the news cycle about Eric Musselman and these photos. I know he was talking with the guys on Barstool Sports about some of these things, but just seems like he's really connecting well. And I know Moses Moody is named a top seven in Arkansas, and it seems like there's a lot of momentum with his recruiting right now. And just listening to him talk with those guys about these pictures and how recruits are really liking the vibe they get at Arkansas, I think it's interesting what's going on right now behind the scenes with Eric Musselman. What are you hearing when you talk to these kids?
Oh, they love that. That's one of the first things that they mention is the is the photos, and they also will do a video to with them, you know, compete or going up for a slam or something like that against Coach Musselman. They really enjoy that stuff, and you know, I think right now, I mean, Coach Musselman understands that at this stage of you know, of his time at Arkansas and what Arkansas in the past has done. I mean, Arkansas is not not a blue blood program, and you got to think outside the box. You got to have fun with it, and I think you always have fun with it, but I think you have to come up with different ideas to kind of excite kids and kind of make them want to come visit. So I think they do a really good job once they get the kids on there. I do know one thing, that they've really mentioned how once they get there, how detailed they are about how they can improve the kids' game and how they can develop them into a possible NBA prospect.
Can you give us a quick update? We had a question on our Cherokee Casino text line about asking you for an update on basketball recruiting. I mentioned Moody and his top seven. What other kind of headlines does everyone need to know about where Musselman's at with some of these top products right now, top kids out there right now?
Well, I mean, right now, some of the kids are still, you know, like with Moses Moody, I mean, he's set an official visit for Ohio State for August 31st and September 2nd. Now, here's an interesting situation. The hurricane may affect his ability to leave the state of Florida in that situation. So I don't know, but he's expected to announce some other visits fairly soon. I would probably think in the next week or so. Then you got Chris Moore from West Memphis, the forward. I think you're going to start seeing him announce some official visits too. KK Robinson just announced that he's going to play his senior year at Oak Hill Academy, which he played at Bryant Latt this past season. So that you know, you always, you're kind of concerned when kids move out of state because they're not hearing about Arkansas 24/7. But you know, I know that he had a really good visit to Arkansas recently. Then obviously Jalen Williams from Fort Smith Northside. I think you're going to start hearing some official visits being set up by him too. So really, it's kind of a wait and see until they start making some of the visits, and then try to get some feedback after that.
Richard, I'm just curious because you're a guy that's obviously a lot more in the know than I am when it comes to these things. But I'm curious what your thought is on what it comes to the transfer portal and waivers that are being given, whether it's college football or college basketball. It seems like the NCAA has a pretty great inconsistency when it comes to who they give waivers to and who they don't. Of course, you know about the quarterbacks that were given waivers and their transfer that they moved on, but then there's somebody like, for instance, Brock Hoffman from Virginia Tech, who actually had a legitimate reason to move closer to home for his mother who's sick, was denied that NCAA waiver. Do you have any rhyme or reason, or can you enlighten me on how they go about this process and what do they decide? I know each situation's different, but it certainly seems like there is an issue with the NCAA on who and who they don't give waivers to when it comes to transfers.
Well, I think they're clamping down on that. I think you're seeing that now. I think, you know, the NCAA kind of talked about how the waivers have kind of gotten out of hand, and they're probably going to, you know, not do it as much. And that makes you concerned if you're Arkansas with Connor Vanover. I just saw a glimpse of a tweet right before I came on with you guys, and I think it was another denial of a waiver. And the kid seemed to have a really good reason because he was coming to take care of his mom who was sick. I think you're going to see less and less of that. And, you know, it's going to be few and far between probably as far as the waivers going forward.
Richard, as always, man, appreciate you hopping on with us. Great stuff on the recruiting trail. Enjoy the football game this weekend. We actually have football. I know it's exciting. And we'll be catching up with you next Thursday, all right?
All right, buddy. See you Saturday.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Like the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast? Check out the Halftime Pod at hitthatline.com.